Paul is continuing his thought from last week, and we remember how Paul had broken out of his attitude of prayer that Pastor RJ shared with us into an attitude of praise as he was lifting the name of Jesus Christ up, as he was exalting the Lord and who Jesus was to himself and to the church at Colossae. And we saw in those verses, we saw that he said he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the creator of all things. And then one thing that I felt was so important is that it is Jesus Christ himself who holds everything together. He's the one that keeps us together. And after Sunday service, someone from the church, much smarter than I, Andy Visser, sent me an email sharing with me something that I had heard before. But there is a cell or there is a protein in every single human body that in fact does hold us together. It's called laminin. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Laminins are major proteins in the basal lamina. I'm reading this, I don't have this in my mind. It's a protein network foundation for most cells and organs. The laminins are important and biological active part of the basal lamina, influencing cell differentiation, migration, get this, adhesion, as well as survival. It's called laminin, and I have a picture of it, and it's a pretty amazing picture. Does it look like anything else that we might wear around our necks? This is laminin. Isn't it interesting that the very cell that holds everything together, that holds you together, is in the shape of a cross? To me, that's just, it's not a Godowince, is it? God ordained it. God knit it together. It's an amazing element that without this little protein, you would fall into a pile of dust. It is absolutely amazing. Now, this is a drawing of a laminin, but I want you to see what a real one looks like. An actual laminin also looks like a cross. This isn't just a, you know, biological drawing. It actually is in the shape of a cross. How interesting that God knit into every cell, every human being, to tie tissues together and cells together in the shape of his cross. Is this a creator that knows what he's doing? Is this a creator that is trying to tell us, look to my son. Look to the one that I'm going to send for you. It's so important that we realize this, that it is this laminin that is vital for the maintenance and survival of tissue. Without it, it would not exist. God's in the details, is he not? Oh, he's in the universe. He's big, but he's also into the finite. And to me, that's just a powerful thing, that Jesus Christ is holding us together physically and, I don't know, spiritually as well. Holding us together, our minds and our thoughts. Thank you. You can take that down now. Verse 18, as we left last week, said that he was the head of the church, the body, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. The preeminence, that he would be first rank, that he would be chief, that he would be in the highest place of dignity. And it's that that Paul now transitions into the next area of this preeminence. He's going to describe, he's going to explain, he's going to show us two practical ways in which Jesus Christ is preeminent, that he is first, that he is the chief. And we'll probably get to one of those points today and probably finish next week. But read with me verse 19, Colossians chapter 1. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Point number one, when it comes to Christ's preeminence, when it comes to his right position is that he is the peacemaker. He's the peacemaker. We see it in verse 20, at the end of verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. The peace of God. The Bible says the peace of God surpasses understanding. There are going to be times in your life when you have an amazing amount of peace, when you know that you should not. And that, my friends, is the Spirit of God comforting you, the Spirit of God being there with you, the Spirit of God walking with you, whatever difficulty you may be in. It's something that cannot be understood. It's not something that we can conjure up in our own strength. Okay, today I'm going to live at peace. I mean, you get in the car and you go down the road, you're not going to have any peace. Somebody's going to cut you off. Well, maybe that's Florida. Not around here. They don't do that here. But this, the peace. And I don't know about you, but I love the peace of God. I love that place where I'm at with the Lord, where I know everything's going to be okay, everything's in order. Even though the things around me might be stressing me, with God I'm at peace. You know, it's kind of like when you get, I don't know, maybe a traffic ticket, and you go to the judge and you say, I didn't realize I was seeing, oh, and he just forgives it. Man, you walk away with peace. Isn't that what God has done for us through Jesus Christ? It says, all your faults are forgiven. All your faults are overlooked. What my son has done has paid your price. That's the justice that we have. Wow, what peace we should have knowing that we're in right relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. Paul says here in verse 19, and it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. The fullness. What is this fullness? The fullness that Paul is talking about is that all of God's attributes, all of his character, all of his countenance are contained in Christ. Christ Jesus has the fullness, the complete capacity and attributes of God. We saw it last week when we talked about when we see Christ, we see the Lord. We see the Father. We see his heart. That is that whatever God is, Christ is. He's the fullness. And it pleased God to give that to him. But there were false teachers in those days, and Paul is using these words to directly attack those truths that they said, you know, this was something that was given to Jesus after the fact because there were some that believed Christ was a created being. But Paul is saying, no, it pleased the Father that the fullness dwelt with him. And when it talks about this word dwell, it means to be with him permanently, eternity past, eternity present. He has always had the fullness. He's always had the complete attributes of God because he is God. If you look at verse 9 in chapter 2 of Colossians, it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is Christ. He is the fullness. He is the complete package. You know what I love about the Apostle Paul? He constantly takes us back to Jesus, doesn't he? He's constantly taking our focus back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but that is something that I need to teach myself. I need to determine in my heart every single moment of every single day that my attention needs to come back to Jesus. My focus needs to be on Christ. Because once I get my focus off of Christ, I begin to trust in myself. I get to trust in my own abilities. And that's when I start getting nervous. That's when fear starts setting in. And when we try to live our lives apart from Christ or our eyes off of Christ, that's when the enemy will attack the most. The Apostle Paul wants us to look. Our focus must be on Jesus. Focus on him at all times. Focus on him when you're unsure of your direction, when you're uncertain or fearful of the situation that you're in, or even when things are going well. Keep your focus on Christ. Not just when it's bad, not just when it's difficult. Always looking to Christ. I ask you, do you know anybody that no matter what kind of conversation, what kind of situation you're in, they're always talking about Jesus? Do you have anybody in your life that's always talking about the Lord? I ask, how do you respond to that? I love being around people that want to talk about Jesus. I love being around individuals that will help me stay on track with Jesus. That's, to me, the most important thing, to bring every circumstance back around to the Lord. I mean, the greatest illustration to me in the Bible is when Peter's stepping out of the boat, walking on water. As long as he's looking at the Lord, he's got no problems. But as soon as his eyes came off the Lord, what happened? Glug, 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 started to sink. And he reaches his hand, the Lord reaches his hand and grabs him. We got to stay focused on Christ. He's the one that keeps us on top of the water. He's the one that keeps it as long as our focus is there. Everything, and as I've said in the past, everything will distract your attention away from Christ. The enemy is going to do all he can to keep you off the Lord, away from the Lord, out of his word, not praying, not in fellowship. Why? Because he knows you will starve there. He knows you will shrivel up and die if you try to do it in your own strength. You have to focus on Christ. I heard a story from a Bible study or a Bible college student that said that this one professor used to teach them to basically take their Bibles, open up their Bibles anywhere, point their finger in their Bible, look down, and then preach Christ from that verse that their finger was on. Think about that for a minute. That no matter what scripture you pull out, you can teach about Christ, because every scripture is about Christ. Now, I translate that into our own lives. If everything we do, everything that we are, we can bring it around to Christ, wow, guess what? We're going to be more Christ-minded. We're going to be more Christ-centered. Why? Because he's our all in all. He's our everything. The songs that we sing, are they the attitudes of our hearts? Are they the lives that we live? Or do we just put on that, oh, I'm a Christian, Jesus is wonderful on Sundays? When we leave here, are we still the same? I'm telling you, I am feeling a major conviction in my heart for society today. The more and more I hear of the lifestyles that people are living, the more and more I hear about people that are compromising. Have you heard about Jennifer Knapp? Has anybody heard about this? She came out and said she's a lesbian. She went on Larry King. Am I getting the name right? Am I doing that right? Jennifer Knapp, right? She sits on Larry King with a pastor sitting there and says, I'm a Christian, but I'm also a homosexual. And it to me, I look at the Word of God and I say, how can you compromise that? How can you understand it? How can we look at our lifestyle and say, well, I'm okay? More and more, I think we see it in our society. More and more, we're going to take a look at the Word of God and say, well, yeah, I'm not living according to the Word, but it's okay. I'm telling you, I'm burdened with this. I'm burdened with people that are going to compromise or move in a direction that says, I don't care what God's Word says. I feel that this is the way I am. I feel that this is... Now, I understand there's a scripture that talks about homosexuals, covetous, idolaters, all those things are abomination to God. Sin is an abomination to God. I struggle. Let's face it, we all struggle with sin. But I'm not practicing my sin. I want the sin out of my life. And when someone sits and says, I believe in God, but I also am going to live contrary to God, and I'm going to choose to do that, and you are judging me if you say otherwise, to me, that's not the heart of I'm a sinner needing to be saved by grace. And I just see it in our younger generation a lot. It's like, well, because why? Because our society is saying it's okay. Our society is starting to say, oh, don't worry about those old traditions in the Bible. I think a day is coming, and isn't far off, where preachers aren't going to be able to share the truths of God's word without fear of being thrown in jail. And I've told you before, I can't wait till the day they throw me in jail for teaching the truth of God's word. I'm going to be like Paul and the early apostles. Hey, praise the Lord, being persecuted for the cause of Christ. But we've got to deal, and that's my thing is, this morning, because we're running out of time, my thing in this morning is, where are you at in the sin in your life? Where are you at with the sins that you... Because let's face it, we all are sinners. And I just... sat at a table with a couple of friends of ours from down in Florida years ago, and they still just don't want to accept Christ. They haven't made that decision. They believe in God, but they're just not sure which religion they want to put their faith in yet. And it's like, how about a faith that gives you hope? How about a faith that speaks the truth, that gives us a book to say, this is how you should live your life, that has a living God, and to be able to deal with the sin in our lives? Let's not try to cover up our sin. Let's not try to hide our sin. Let's expose it to the love of Jesus Christ. Let's expose it to the light and the forgiveness that Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed for him, for us. Only then, my friends, will we have true peace. Only then will the true peacemaker reside in our hearts when we accept. People will say, well, I don't understand why there's only one way to God. Why is Jesus the only way? Why can't there be another way? I think, and I don't know why my limited little mind says, can you imagine if an airplane pilot is flying into Nashville? He calls the tower and says, you need to land on runway 9. And the pilot goes, I don't feel like running on runway 9 today. I want another way to get to Nashville. I mean, I know it's a very limited, but it's like, you're going to do what they tell you. God said, there's one way to me. Now, I will say this, and I'll go on record. There's two ways to go to heaven. Live a sinless life, or put your faith in a sinless life, and that's Jesus Christ. Isn't it true? If you live a sinless life, you'll get to go to heaven. But, sorry, you missed that one. That option's gone. It's off the table. Only through Jesus Christ can you have salvation. Well, what about the other religions? You're going to stand before God. He says, what did you do with my son? Did you accept my son? That's the way. That's the way, my friends. Men and women. Look, turn with me just one stop. 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. I should tell you where. 1 John chapter 1. Right in the beginning. Again, talking about people in your lives that are always talking about Jesus, always bringing this topic around or telling you what Jesus is doing in their life. These people are so important in the days that we live. Look at verse 1 in chapter 1 of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The focus on these scriptures for me and for us this morning is the fact that we have a Bible that records people's lives that had personal interaction with Jesus Christ. They saw the Lord. They witnessed the power. They heard what He said. And these are the people that are saying, I'm writing this to you. I want you to know about this. I want you to know that I saw Christ. I heard Christ. And we have fellowship with the Father through Christ. Guys, we need people that are willing to have seen Christ, have heard Christ, and have been dwelling with and communing with Christ. These are the people that will encourage us to draw closer to the Lord. And we need to do it on our own. We also need to be in fellowship with others, to be encouraged to know that someone else is being challenged by the Lord, being touched by the Lord, being transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe God's calling you to be that one. Maybe God's calling you to be the one to share about Jesus, His Son, more often. Is there someone in your life that needs to know Christ? I bet there is. Is there someone who needs to hear that you believe in Him? I bet there is. Because through those conversations, through those communications with each other, you can share that there's one who will give them peace. You know, when I sit in counseling appointments with people who are just stressed out, discouraged and down, all I got to do is give them the hope of Jesus Christ, and man, their countenance changes. The hope of Christ involved in their lives. The true peacemaker. The true peacemaker. We didn't get very far today, did we? If we go back to Colossians chapter 1, I want to read verse 20. Bible says, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Reconciliation, my friends. The reconciliation is what we're going to talk about next week. But Jesus Christ reconciles, restores to right relationship you with God. Jesus does that. He's the reconciler. He's the one that reconnects you to God. Through Jesus Christ, you can be in right relationship with the Creator. And that's what we have. That's the faith that we have. That's the truth that we have. See, some people believe that because Jesus came, died on a cross, now everybody's going to heaven. He paid the price for sin, so all their sins gone. Well, no, that's not the truth. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask you, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ today? Have you committed your life to Christ and are determined to live a life that honors Him? Not a life of compromise, not a life of, well, what can I get away with? Not a life of, well, what can I do to still live my life and get to heaven? But a life that says, I want to change so that I glorify God, that I honor the Lord, and that my life makes a difference. My life makes a difference. And if you want that, if you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to talk boldly today and say, look, if you've been going to church your whole life, you may not be saved. If you have always, you know, your family's always believed in God, or your dad's a pastor, or whatever, it's a personal relationship. It's a personal commitment to God. You don't get in by proxy. You don't get in because your wife is a good person. You don't get in because your husband is a good person. You get in because you accept Jesus Christ. You don't get in because you live in the Bible Belt. You don't get in because you know the Word of God. You get in because you love Jesus and you see, and He's the Lord of your life. And your life is an open book to Him. And you say, Jesus, look at my heart, look at my mind, look at my life. What is in my life that you want out? And if you want it out, I'm going to take it out. That's living the abiding life in Jesus Christ. And that is true salvation, my friend.